Your Bible, if you will, to the book of Ruth, if you will. The book of Ruth, I'd appreciate it this morning if you would listen on purpose. Just focus in and listen to me, and we won't be here long, all right? And you said, how long are you going to preach? Until I get through. And when I get through, we'll quit, all right? I try not to be one of those preachers that keeps circling the landing field but never can bring it down, all right? We'll try not to do that, but Just for a little bit, if I could have your attention, and if you'd listen on purpose, I believe it would help you. The preaching's going to be very plain today. Nobody's going to go home and say, boy, that was deep preaching there. No, it's going to be simple enough that everybody who'll pay attention can get it, and if you'll do it, it'll help you. It'll help you. I promise you that. Now, not because of me, but because of the Word of God, all right? Because of the Word of God. It's not because of me whatsoever, but because of the Bible. All right, Ruth chapter 2, if you will. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto his reapers, the Lord be with you. And they served, answered him, the Lord bless thee. I want to draw your attention, if I could, this morning to verse 3. Verse 3, where the Bible says, right kind of in the middle, towards the middle of the verse, like it says, and her hap was to light, okay, on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of getting your hap with the map, all right? Getting your hap with the map. Now, you said, do what? Well, that's why you need to pay attention, all right? That's why you need to listen, just plain and simple. That word hap in the scriptures is basically short for what we would maybe have said, so happened. It just so happened, all right? In other words, it was, as the writer would say, and at least to Ruth's point of view, it was by chance. It was an accident. The world would call it maybe an accident or call it luck that she just rounded up in that field. Now, I don't believe there are any accidents in the life of the child of God, okay? Now, other than a car accident when you don't pay attention, okay? Or somebody else doesn't pay attention, you can have that. But I don't believe there's chance happenings. I believe God's hand is in it. I believe it's the providence of God that's in action over us. And so I don't believe there's a lot of those kind of things. You say, well, okay, but what's the map? Well, don't lose your place here in Ruth, but let's go to Matthew chapter 1, all right? Matthew chapter 1. I believe here's the map, all right? Here's the map for Ruth, okay? It was her hap, and it got together with her map. Now, the map is the one that God's planned out for you, all right? Matthew chapter 1. I went slow, so you ought to be there, okay? Matthew chapter 1, would you look down at verse... Now, Matthew chapter 1, these first verses, is not the most exciting reading in the Bible. But it's there for a reason. It's there for a reason. I want you to look at verse 5. The Bible said, and Salmon begat Booz of Rachel, and Booz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And it's a genealogy. We're not going to take time to read it all, but when you get down there to verse 16, in Matthew 1, it says, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. See, you said, what's going on? Here's what's going on. Here, right here in this scripture, we see that this Booz is that Old Testament Boaz, all right? Begat Rachab, or begat Obed of Ruth. This Ruth, the map, the plan of God for Ruth was that she was going to be in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of her, I was going to come one who was in the line and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the map for her, all right? God had a plan. God had a plan for Ruth. Now you hear me. The plan for Ruth was the same when Ruth was in Moab. Okay? God's plan was still in effect. The plan did not just, God didn't just say, oh, now that she's in Bethlehem, Judah, we can put her. No, God's plan was there all the time. It was there. God had it planned out. Now, God has a plan. He's got a map for your life, too. He's got a map for your life, too. The challenge is to get the hap with the map, okay? That's the challenge. You say, well, how in the world can that possibly happen? Well, there's some things that you can do. See, we call this thing the will of God. That's the way we refer to it. Now, the challenge is for us to get in that will of God. Now, you say, well, how can I do that? Well, let's see what did it for Ruth, because what worked for her worked for you, okay? What worked for her worked for you. So I want you to notice, first of all, Ruth had a will. Ruth had a will. And now, we all have a will. We all have a will. You and I have a, God didn't take away your will. I'm a believer in the fact God put us on this earth and He gave us a free will. And it's up to us what we do with that, all right? But the thing that made the difference for Ruth was the fact that she gave her will to God. You look in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, all right? Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. And Ruth said, now this is where Naomi was telling her, now Ruth, you need to just stay in Moab. There's no future for you in Bethlehem, Judah. You go there, you'll be an outsider, you'll be a stranger, you'll be somebody that really we've been taught to avoid, stay away from, not to be a part of, and you're just not going to fit in there. You need to stay here in Moab with your people. And that was after that speech that she gave that Ruth in verse 16 said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following thee. All right? For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, but here it is, and thy God, my God. Thy God, my God. Hey, Ruth had a will. She gave that will to God, all right? She made a choice. She made a choice. Her choice was to make Naomi's God her God. Hey, listen, you have a choice in this life. She chose to follow the real God instead of the false gods of Moab. She chose to follow the one true God. You have a choice in life. You get to choose. Am I going to accept Christ as my Savior? Am I going to take God's Son who paid for my sin, who died the death I deserve to die on the cross? Am I going to take His offering for my sin and accept that and ask Him to save my soul? Your choice. Your choice. Nobody can make you do it. Now, somebody big and strong could grab your arm and twist it up behind your back and make you about ready to scream in agony and say, you better say these words, and maybe make you say those words, but it wouldn't make you a child of God. It's got to come from within you. You have to make that decision. I want to tell you, Ruth made that choice. Now, she had a will, but her will was, listen, Naomi, your God's going to be my God. I'm making that choice in life. Now, you've got that choice. You can accept the Savior. You can reject Him. You say, well, I haven't rejected Him. You have if you haven't accepted Him. You've rejected Him. You say, well, that's kind of harsh. Well, it's true. It's true. You either accept Him as your Savior, all right, or you don't. And so here she had that opportunity, and you can choose to do it. She chose to identify herself with the people of God. You have that choice. You can choose to identify yourself with the people of God, or you can choose, if you will, to hide and conceal your true affiliation if you want to, you know. God help you, though, if you're not willing to boldly declare your status and say, hey, I'm a child of God. I've been born again, and I'm glad of it. All right? Man, the best thing ever happened to me was when I got saved. Best thing ever happened to me. Changed the whole life. All of my life since then altered because that day, as a 9-year-old boy, I trusted Christ as my Savior. That's one decision I've never regretted. I've made a lot of other ones. I said, well, wish I hadn't have done that. But I sure am glad I trusted Christ. Hey, but it's your choice. Your choice. Your will. See, God has a map for your life, but if you want to, you can reject it. You can reject it. But Ruth had a will, and she said, I'm going to take God. But then I want you to notice there in verse 2 of chapter 2, she had that will, but she was, I want you to notice, willing. She was willing. Look what she said there. Let me now go to the field. Let me now go to the will. My soul, what this says about the character of Ruth. What this says about the character of Ruth. She didn't have to be asked. She didn't have to be. There was no force. There was no coercion to it at all. Nothing put on her like that. She wasn't shamed into doing it. She wasn't shamed into doing it. This stranger in the land was willing to go and glean in the field. All right. Now, the gleaning, if you will, was God's welfare plan. I'll say a little bit more about it later in the message, but that was God's welfare plan. But I want you to see this. Here's Ruth willing to do it. We're there with her mother-in-law, and she said, hey, I'm willing. I'm willing. Not only that, I'm willing, but he said, let me now go. Not tomorrow, not next week, not after I get used to living here, but let me now go, all right? She's willing to do it. You know, if God's people would just have that spirit about them, every church needs folks that are willing, but most are filled with people that are reluctant. We're reluctant. Well, I don't know. Preacher, can you find somebody else? Yeah. We've got every excuse in the world, but we don't take care. We're not willing. We're not willing. Boy, she was, man. Saul of Tarsus had a rare attitude, and he revealed it there on the road to Damascus. That day the Lord knocked him off his donkey, put him on the ground, and sent him who he was. His first question was, who art thou? But I think he already knew because he said, who art thou, Lord? But his next question was, what wilt thou have me to do? Hey, he was interested in what God wanted me to do. God's people ought to have that kind of attitude. Ought to have that kind of attitude. Hey, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, anything needs doing, I can do it, I'll do it. I like that. I like a person who's got that kind of attitude. I'm willing, whatever it is. Doesn't bother me, what, you know, one thing or other. No job, by the way, no job was beneath Ruth. Gleaning in the field was an indication I'm poor. It was an indication, I'm poor. That a gleaner, there was not a gleaner out there in well-to-do designer clothes. Okay, they were poor people. And if you were gleaning, all right, you with me? If you were gleaning, it was like a sign put on your back, I'm poor. But there she was. She was willing to do it, all right? She wasn't too good to do it. Boy, I'll tell you something. There's nothing in the work of God. There's nothing we ought to think I'm too good to do that. There is nothing under the sun I am too good. You know, nothing at all. Willing. Just willing. You know, that kind of person that would say, pick me. Pick me. I'm willing. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go. But man, churches are filled with people that are reluctant. Reluctant. And once again, I'll point out her request was to let me go now. Tomorrow could have cost her a great harvest. I'll tell you, the time is now. Hey, the time is now for you and me because we don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know what's coming. Now, we're counting on tomorrow. Everybody here's got plans for tomorrow. Some of you planning to sleep in. All right? But everybody here, we got plans for tomorrow. Somewhere down the road, you know. Kids say, well, I'm going to school, but it's not because I want to. All right? But you got plans, all right? You may not have made the plans. Somebody else may have made the plans for you. You got plans for tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you something. Our willingness to serve God's today. Why? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. It ought to be now. It'll be right now. So not only did she have a will, not only was she willing, but I want you to notice, if you will, in verse 3, the Bible said, and she went. She went. Ruth went. Now you would say, well, isn't that rather obvious? I mean, she was willing to go, so she's not going to go. Oh, okay, it was. After all, she was willing to go. She even asked to go. But I want you to notice, she went. Notice what the Bible says. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And that's where she wound up in that field belonging to Boaz, all right? She went to the fields where they were harvesting. She went to the right place. She made that decision. She went to the right place. Unfortunately, many people are definitely not that wise spiritually because they don't go to the right place. They're looking for spiritual food in the pantry of the world. Now, I just want to tell you, the world's pantry doesn't have anything for you spiritually. Doesn't have it. It's not there. If you want food, then you have to go to where that food is found. I mean, I go out of here, especially on Sunday night or Wednesday night, and the wind's just a gentle breeze maybe from the north, and I automatically begin thinking of hamburgers. Because OC Burgers is right here. And man, it comes out. I thought about going down there and threatening the guy, all right, that owns it, and say, you don't understand what you're doing to me, all right? Accuse him of it. Why? Because that's where, well, wait a minute. If you want food, you go to where food is, all right? You go to where food is. That's where you go to get it. If you need spiritual food, it's not found in the funny papers. Okay? It's not there. By the way, it's not in the gossip rags you can find all over the place at Walmart, the grocery store. There's no spiritual food there. Hey, I tell you, it's not found in the theaters of the world. If you want spiritual food, it's found in this book. It's found in this book. That's where you're going to go. You need spiritual food. You've got a longing in you for that spiritual food. It'll not be found somewhere out yonder. It'll be found in the Word of God. It'll be found in the house of God. It'll be found where somebody's going to stand and teach and preach this book. And it's what we need, but folks wander around hungry and say, well, I just can't find what I want. You're looking in the wrong place. Looking in the wrong place. You hear me? It's us, John. She went, and she went where she knew she could find what she was looking for. I'll tell you that we fail to do that today. People fail to read the Bible. We've got all kinds of questions spiritually. And we say, I got all these questions, but we've never read the Bible. Never read the book that's got the answers, all right? What a goofy thing. I taught several years in our Christian school. I taught the high school math, Algebra 1, Algebra 2, geometry, and occasion trigonometry, the good stuff, not that wasteful junk like English, all right, the good stuff. And I taught those subjects, and every book we had, I always assigned for homework the even-numbered problems. And there was a reason. Because the odd-numbered problems' answers were in the back of the book. Now, I figured kids would figure that out, so I didn't leave it to them. I said, hey, I'm going to give you the even-numbered problems because the odd numbers are in the back of the book. I just let them know right up front. There they are, okay? They're there. You can find them there. But the even numbered ones weren't. You're going to find them here in class, all right? They're in the teacher's edition, all right? They're here. Hey, listen, you got problems in this old life. You need spiritual help. This is where you're going to find it. You're going to find it where somebody stand and preach you the Word of God. You'll find it where somebody come and teach you the Bible, okay? That's what we need. There is a spiritual side to you. You were made as a spiritual being. You've got a physical body, but you also have a spiritual side to you, and both of those cry out to be fed. The physical body You may be sitting there right now and your physical body is saying, I'm hungry. And if you sit there long enough, your stomach will growl. And if it gets loud enough, it embarrasses you because people around you look at you. And but we've got that. That's natural. But wait a minute. You've also got a spiritual side. There's a spiritual hunger. And a lot of times people say, well, I don't know what it is. I don't know. Yeah, well, what it is that spiritual side of you desiring to be fed. Desiring to be fed. Hey, Ruth was willing and she went. She went to where she knew she could get what she needed. Well, I'll tell you, that's why this preacher preaches on you be faithful in the house of God. Be faithful in the house of God. You come and get it. You get what you need. And I don't know how many y'all are. I don't know how many of you eat one meal a day, okay? Maybe you're that kind of person, you eat one meal a day. I don't. I like three meals a day and snacks in between, okay? Don't always do that, but I like that, okay? That's what I like. But I'm amazed at the people that can operate for a whole week just on Sunday morning at church. I just need that little bit. I don't need very much, you know. That just overwhelms me, stuffs me full, and I don't last that long. You need that. You need that more. Some people get it once a month. That's all they need, you know. Hey, you need this book, okay? You need this book. You need what the Word of God has for you. Ruth was willing. She went. She went. But don't you notice this? Look in chapter 2, if you will, and look at verse 5. Now, we didn't read verse 5 a while ago, but we're going to read there in verse 5. Ruth 2, verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And he's talking about Ruth. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Now, not only was she willing and not only did she go, but she worked. She worked. When she got to the fields, she went to work. All right? Now, you hear me, gleaning was hard work. It was hard work. I realized preaching to a bunch of city folks, many you think, young people today think, well, where do you get beans? Well, they're in a can. You get them off a shelf. Well, where do you get milk? Well, it comes in a jug. You buy it at the store, all right? I don't think some of them put two and two together. That milk, you didn't get the milk from the jug. The jug got it from the cow, and the cow's the one produced the milk, all right? And people don't understand those beans in that can had to be picked. They actually grew off the ground, all right? Man, I grew up, my dad was raised as a farmer. My grandpa was a farmer. And man, at an early age, we went to the fields to pick peas. We picked beans and all of that. And you know, as a little kid, it wasn't as tough as it was as an adult. It wasn't. The beans are further from you as an adult. All right? I mean, they were more on my level the younger I was. But the older I got, the taller I got, the further it was to get to the beans. So what are you getting at? I mean, you spend just a little while doing this. And then you try to stand up. And all of a sudden you realize, I need a little help here. All right? Don't stand up. Why? I don't stay bent over real good very long. All right? And, hey, that's gleaning. Gleaning in the fields was hard work. It was what was left on the ground. It meant you bent all the way over to get it. All right? And you gleaned behind the harvesters. Okay? The reapers were ahead. The gleaners were behind them picking up. And I said it was God's welfare program. You see, under the plan of God, as it says in the New Testament, if a man won't work, don't let him eat. That's what the Bible says. If you're not willing to work, then you don't eat, all right? And if you're not willing to do it, you ought to be willing to work. I realize you see, sometimes you see people on the side of the road with a sign that says, I'll work for food. But oftentimes, if you would offer them that job, they'd say, not right now. Because I'm doing too good right here. And our government has made it too easy in some instances. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not against helping people who really need help. But I am against helping people that are healthy and able to work. And the Bible said that crowd won't work. They don't eat. And God had instituted a program in His day. He told those farmers, when you farm, you leave something in the field. You never strip the plant. Now, my dad was a New Testament farmer. You got everything. You got everything. Man, you didn't. If you pick behind him, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time because he picked everything, all right? And that's the way he'd go about it. But in those Old Testament days, the farmer was commanded, you leave some in the field. You leave it so those that come behind glean will be able to find something. That was God's plan, but it was hard work. And notice what the Bible said about Ruth. It was all day. She came in the morning. She's been here all day. She just stopped for just one little bit. She'd been here, she'd been working, she's been after it. Once again, evidence and testimony to the character of Ruth. Hey, we live in a day, I didn't plan to say this, but I'm going to say it. We live in a day where people don't want to work. People don't want to work. You go to restaurants, you go to businesses, it's hard to find somebody to help you because they can't find people to work. It's nothing uncommon at all to go to a restaurant and see tables empty, but they say, well, we got a waiting list. Now you say, well, what about those empty tables? Well, we don't have servers to help. We can't hire. Why? Because you will not work. People won't work. You got me? People won't work. They'd rather sit at home. They'd rather draw a check. Easy. Hey, I want to work. I had a desire. When I got out of high school, I had a desire. There were some things I wanted, all right? One had four wheels, all right, and a motor. And so I had a desire, so I went to work. You need to work. It's a good thing to work. You young people that are here, grow up planning to work. Work. Good thing to do. Now, I think it's good to learn to work physically and at least have that experience. But, man, if you've got the ability to do it, you know, you don't have to work so hard back-breaking labor, fine. But I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I'm glad there are people that can lay bricks. I'm glad there are people that can hang sheetrock. I've hung sheetrock. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm happy to let somebody else do that, all right? I've done that. I've done roofing. I've roofed this building along with other members of the church. I don't want to do it again. That's why we have a metal roof. Time came along, needed a roof. I said, we're going to find out what a metal roof costs. And God supplied the need. We were able to put it up there. And I said, I just want it to last at least until I'm gone. All right? And whoever's left, your job to figure it out, okay? Hey, they were willing to work. I'm glad my dad taught me to work. All right? Ruth went there. She wasn't just sitting. She wasn't just waiting. She wasn't wondering what the will of God was. It was her hap to be there. But she wasn't there just sitting. She wasn't waiting. She wasn't wondering. She didn't know what God was doing. Ruth had no idea that down the line, a great, 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 however many grandchild was going to be Jesus Christ. Had no idea. No idea. She didn't know all that God was doing. And she wouldn't realize it for a long time. She wouldn't realize that God was setting her up to give her a husband, too. She sure didn't realize she'd be in the lineage of Christ, all right? But I want you to see this. She worked while she waited for the developments to come. Let me say this to you. A lot of people said, well, if I just knew what the will of God was, I'd do it. What are you doing while you're waiting to find out? What are you doing while you're waiting to find out? Well, I'm praying.
Well, good. It's a good thing to do. Did you ever think maybe you ought to go to work? Can I say this to you? Had Ruth stayed with Naomi, she'd have never wound up in that field. She'd have never wound up in that field. She just sat there and said, well, what are we going to do now? But she was willing. She went. She worked. And God worked out His plan. God worked out His plan. There's a multitude of others who stand and say the same thing. I'm going to say, my life, man, as a kid, I grew up in church. Dad was a pastor. You folks know that. And we went to church every Sunday. I don't know why I didn't wind up bitter like other preachers' kids or other people that were abused by the fundamentalists, all right? I don't know how that didn't happen to me, all right? Because that's what I was raised in. That's what I grew up in. And, man, I mean, we never missed church. We never had a choice. Dad never gave us a choice. He said, you're going. We said, okay. And we said, yes, sir, actually. And we went for everything. I mean, the whole thing. And but you know what? God got a hold of this old heart right here. And I just decided, you know what? It'd be a good thing to serve the Lord and just do something for Him. And one of the first things I began to do was teach. I began to teach a Sunday school class. I was a teenager when I started teaching Sunday school class. Taught junior boys. That's where I learned the Bible. Now, I'd learned it before sitting in Sunday school myself, but you have to learn the Bible if you're going to teach a Sunday school class. You only show up once unprepared. You show up one time unprepared and the kids overwhelm you and you say, ain't never doing that again. I will be ready. There will be something for them, you know. And so I learned the Bible. Then I got involved in the bus ministry. How, man, you talk about exciting. That was exciting. I got out there and began to knock on doors and began to meet people. Now, y'all don't appreciate the shy kid I was when I was a kid. Man, I was shy, happy to sit and be left alone, all right? Leave me alone and I'll leave you alone, you know. But, man, God did something for me and began to work that bus route and just began to serve God and get, man, fill the bus up, bring kids in. And during the summer, I'd go out and pick them up and we'd go play ball. I'd pick up the kids on my bus route and we'd go play ball. Can't do it anymore because I did it all by myself. Today it's too risky to do that too much. But, man, I was young and dumb, too. So I went out and did that and had a good time. And you know what? It was in the midst of all that working that God said, I want you to preach. I want you to preach. It wasn't because I was sitting in the corner sucking my thumb saying, I wish I knew what God wanted me to do. I was doing something. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand the message this morning. I'm not bragging on me because I'm nothing at all. But I'm telling you, your hap can get with the map of God, but it gets there as you're obedient to God. It gets there as you serve the Lord. As you find out, Lord, what do you want me to do? You just do it. You say, well, preacher, what am I supposed to do? Well, you know, you never called on me. Bless God, quit waiting to be called. It's okay to volunteer. It's okay to volunteer. You say, well, I volunteered to teach Sunday school class. What group you want me to have? Whatever group you fill the room up with. We'll give you the Sunday school classroom. There it is. Fill it up. Go after people. Go after people. You see them. Talk to people. Talk to people. Man, when I became a bus captain, they didn't say, okay, here's your 35 riders. It was, here's the bus. There's the area. Go for it. I can't drive through Diamond Hill now without memories flooding my soul. Going up and down those streets. And I remember so-and-so lived right here. And over here was so-and-so. And that's where the dog chased me. You know, and that's where I had that experience. Hey, some of you hadn't been around. I told a story about Duchess. Duchess was a Doberman Pinscher. That's the closest I ever thought I was going to get dog bit in my life. It was by Duchess. I can take you to the house today. If a house is not there, I can still take you to where it was, okay? Where it was. I drive up and down those streets, man, the memories come back. Man, God was able to use me. I just want to say this to you, not because I was special. You don't have to be something special. You just have to be saying, Lord, here I am. I'm willing. Ruth was willing. Ruth said, I'll go. She went. She worked. And God worked it out. We'll see as we go on in the book of Ruth how God worked it out. Amazing thing. Amazing. How God took this Moabitish woman and she wound up in the lineage of Jesus Christ. It had never happened if she hadn't given her will to God. That's the first question this morning for you. Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Can you go back in your life and say, there's the day I got saved. I'm not talking about the date. I mean the day. Know when I got saved. Now, I remember the day when the Lord saved me. I remember that day. Then are you willing? Are you willing to say, hey, can I go? Can I go? That's what Ruth said. Hey, can I go now? Let me now go. And she went. She worked. God worked it out. He's still in that business. He'll still do that for you. Hey, you need to get your hap with the map, and it's up to you to be obedient to God. And if you'll do it, God will work it out in your life too. He'll do it for you. Will you be what God wants you to be? Would you stand with me with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning having just looked at a very simple message from the Word of God. Lord, here we are. We're needy people.